morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
And my cousin Tino right over here.
And we have with us again today
Gary LeMaster.
He's
right.
One of our producers. Tom Tabak just said, Mike said, when are we on the air? And Tom said, you're on the air now. So here we are. Today we're going to talk about elections and the
Arizona upcoming elections.
It's a really interesting thing. I don't know how deep and profound it is, but let's talk about
it. Well, it's a midterm election. And it's always, it's tough to generate interest, although people should be interested in this midterm election. Certainly, there's no end interesting people entering the races on both sides. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, the Republican governor's side is wide open.
Yeah, I think that's where we should start. And then
talk
about Fred Duval, who's a
and the Democratic
candidate.
Side. So far, he's managed to fend off all challengers in the primary.
It looked like there was going to be an exciting Democratic primary between Fred Duval and Chad Campbell, or Fred Duval and several other people, but none of it developed. There's just one Democratic candidate.
Right,
Fred
that is old guard, young Turk. You know, would have been interesting, at least for the Democratic Party. In a nonpartisan discussion here, love Chad Campbell, love Fred Duval, old school, new school, but we only have Fred Duval to consider.
Yeah, we'll talk about Fred.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. Or is it? You know, there's a big debate among policy wonks where some guys say a primary is really good for getting out the vote if you have a really strong primary contest. And other people say, no, you'll save a whole bunch of money. Since Democrats don't have a lot of money, if you don't have a primary, what do you guys think?
Well, interest. I think it would have raised interest. Fred Duval has criticized. I've talked to the man many, many times. I think he'd be a great governor. I think he's a good campaigner, but he has a somewhat conservative streak. Although when the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party said that Fred was boring and didn't have a chance, Fred Duval sent him a case of Dos Equis. You know, the commercial that the most interesting man in the world does the on TV. So Duval has a sense of humor, certainly, and his gift got very little coverage. But I thought it was clever and it was a good idea.
He has a very distinguished record. He is a centrist. He started out working in the Clinton administration, right?
Now, if we're going to talk about, he's all about business. I mean, he's all about Arizona business. That's his drumbeat.
Particularly small business. I know that the Arizona Republic was checking his facts about something like 97% of the jobs or businesses in Arizona were small businesses. There's not a lot of huge business, and that his campaign is going to be about encouraging small businesses. He's very business oriented. He is a real economic policy wonk, a guy who thinks very deeply about if you want someone who's going to take Arizona out of the way we now are, the pattern we now have of businesses of basically people moving into the state and all the retail and the call centers and stuff. Fred Duval has been a great time with the most complex and forward-looking stuff, where he can translate this economic knowledge and these brilliant ideas and stuff into policy.
Well, more than that, I think in politics, as we know, everything's about context. And I think he has the contacts to bring, don't forget, Arizona has no national companies anymore headquartered here. And if I'm wrong on that, I would love to hear from someone. So one of Fred's things is to bring some national headquarters back to the state.
But for Democrats, he's a conservative Democrat, or he's a moderate Democrat.
That's kind of a redundancy in Arizona. There are no liberal Democrats running for office.
Well, we'll come to one.
Well, we're going to talk about Michael Weiser this morning.
Michael Weiser.
Let's put it, they're very rare.
They are rare.
In more liberal states, the Democrats here would be considered conservatives, and they're, and you got to admit, most of them are very center right.
So absolutely, and in a way, if we're talking about hierarchies of office here, we're talking about statewide offices. From, you know, we had a little plan here to talk about statewide offices, but in a way, Michael Weiser's race at the federal level, running against Gosar, I suppose, has is the larger office.
Let's talk about the state.
Okay.
Things. The interesting contest, I think, I don't know whether you, what you guys think, is Scott Smith. Scott Smith is the mayor of Mesa. He was extraordinarily successful in business, and he's been extraordinarily successful in reviving and expanding, bringing Apple to Mesa and stuff. He has the best record, the visibly best record of any of the candidates running. And a contest between Scott Smith and Fred Duvall would be a really interesting one, in that you'd have two a conservative centralist, a little bit more liberal centralist, both of who are focused on economic development. Both of those men's campaigns are really about economic development, and as Gary said, about business.
Well, that's true. The criticism for about Smith is that nobody knows him outside of Mesa, where Fred Duvall had run statewide in the past, and well, so he has that leg up.
Smith was the subject of a Koch brothers sponsored attack campaign earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was accusing him of being a confidant and a supporter of Obama and Obamacare, et cetera, which he was ahead of the Mayor's Association nationally, and
which is made up mostly of Democrats. And he's, I think, the first mayor from Arizona ever elected to be head of the association, and he's a rare Republican to be elected. So he's able to work across the aisle and able to and he got there really because of his achievements in Mesa.
Well, to step back, I have to admit, I've heard other political observers say that mayors are the hardest working politicians that there are, and they understand the most about politics. They're the least able to be prima donnas, and I don't know if that translates to small town mayors, but it, my experience even there as a reporter tells me that these guys work, these men and women work hard.
Now, the latest polls show that the governor's race on the Republican side is wide open.
Yeah.
But the fellow who they thought had the best chance was Ken Bennett. Any comments on Ken Bennett? He's Secretary of State of Arizona. He's famous for his birther moment, where he decided to, after everybody else gave up on the birther nonsense, right, Ken Bennett decided to jump in and see if he could ride that bandwagon to the Republican, the next Republican primary.
He seemed somewhat of a moderate prior to that, and then he got into this whole voter the splitting the tickets, wasn't it, between the federal races and the state races, and it looked like an obvious attempt to suppress the Democratic and non-Republican vote.
They came up with the idea of having two separate ways to register, one that meets federal law and one that meets state law.
If our intent this morning here is to give portraits of these men and women that are running for Arizona office, I think Ken Bennett is a moderate Republican that's trying, like so many of them, to pretend that he's extreme right, to please the extreme right of Arizona, to try to keep their support. You know, you don't hear a lot from Ken Bennett, Secretary of State.
His background is mostly in government, all different levels of government. I guess that's his campaign says that he has the widest experience at different levels of government of the Republican candidate.
So he carries the water for the right wing of the Republican Party. However, I think who Ken Bennett is, he's a Prescott area Republican. His family's got a lot of business up there, you know, and I think he's a moderate Republican that in another era, it would have been an effective person to work with both sides of the aisle.
a lot of the information we have about the Republican candidates comes not from any kind of Democratic sides, but from Republican, from extremely conservative Republican sides who are dishing dirt on candidates they don't like. And there's this campaign that Mike's talking about, right, which is, and they call it finding the true conservative. It's almost like a witch hunt for guys who say they're conservative but are not. I mean, I would say Ken Bennett's conservative. He's just not maybe wacko conservative.
That's it.
And this he gave a shot at it.
This is a movement. You've seen it on the left, but right now it's on the right. They're consuming their young. This is a party that's busy consuming itself. And, you know, go for it, guys. This name of the show is Democratic Perspective.
We're fair, but not necessarily balanced.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ken Bennett was supposed to be the odds on front runner. A lot of the guys who, Real Clear Politics, is I still think he's going to emerge from this huge collection of Republicans that are apparently running for governor as the leader. Another leading figure is Doug Ducey, straight treasurer. Yeah. He was the CEO of Cold Stone Creamery.
Cold Stone Creamery.
When he ran last time, Cold Stone's a success story. My problem with Doug Ducey is he sounds like he invented Cold Stone. Of course, it was developed by somebody else, and he came along as the CEO.
He's a franchise owner.
He's a franchise, yeah.
Operator,
and the scandal last time was all these people with Cold Stone franchising losing their shirts. And you really lose money if you lose your franchise. And they accused Ducey of putting the stores too close to each other and cutting into business and setting up an economic model that even when they sold a whole lot of ice cream, they didn't make any money. Mm. So the response to that is, well, these guys were just the losers there. And I think the Wall Street Journal did a research, and it's about a little bit more sometimes than 20% of the franchises folded. But when a franchise folds, it really hurts the guys who own it, right?
Ducey is, you may recognize, is running a TV campaign right now that is all anti-Obama.
Yeah.
It's how Obama has really attacked Arizona and sued us and so on. It's all the result of Republican decisions made in the state that are challenging the federal government. And so it's a one-way street. The state has been challenging the feds. But, anyway, Ducey, to promote himself, that seems to be, he wants to be the most anti-Obama candidate.
He came out early and hard against Obama, and that's all his ad, and he's paid these ads run on the news, during news time, prime time all the time, very often. But I heard a rumor, and we talk about rumors on here, that those ads are costing him votes. That this page out of the Republican playbook about doing nothing but anti-Obama is just as bad as somebody going around, the Democrat going, GOP bad, GOP wackos. Okay, we got that. Now, what else you got to say? That's the same thing with the Ducey ad. People are yawning and saying, okay, you don't like Obama, we got it.
He's not promoting any ideas that would help the state of Arizona.
Exactly. He wants to be governor.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to self-fund himself pretty much. He's not doing it, but he's able to contribute. He's very, very wealthy and able to contribute to his own campaign. He's one of two big money candidates in the campaign, Doug Ducey, and the other one is Christine Jones, who's the executive vice president, or was, of GoDaddy.
Right.
The internet company.
The giant internet company
and
server farm. Anything you guys want to say about Christine Jones? I mean,
there's one just tantalizing thing her website that I want to get across is that she, one of the major things on her website homepage was she was the first girl to play in the all boys basketball league in Denver, Colorado.
Good for her.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I saw that in your notes, I thought you were just being metaphorical, that she was just an effective CEO of a you know, Fortune 500 company, but no, she was, we're talking about actual shorts and basketball and sweat and all that good stuff.
It'd been probably about 8 or 10 years old. You know.
Her employment history that her story that she's told about her is a bit sketchy. She claimed he was a prosecutor in California and they found out that she wasn't.
A legal assistant.
So there's been some iffiness of that. When I look at the right wing websites, they don't like the GoDaddy ads of a few years ago. They were too raunchy.
They were great. I'm sorry. There was nothing wrong with those ads.
They were in the mold of Hooters, let's put it that way.
Well, then, and you get some very good chicken wings at the Hooters.
Only more sophomoric than Hooters.
Remember the enhanced, non-enhanced thing with the race car lady, Danica Kirkpatrick.
So each of the candidates has a different thing. Ken Bennett is, I have experience in government. Doug Ducey's, I made a whole lot of money as an ice cream guy. And Christine Jones is, I know technology. I'll bring advanced technology to the state of Arizona.
Well, her big thing is let the business sector be the business sector and get the government out of the way, which is one of the more frightening things I can imagine. You know?
but I believe it will ring well with politicians.
It's a conservative talking point. But unregulated business is worse than overzealous government.
So I think that's kind of the list of Ken Bennett, Doug Ducey, Christine Jones, and Scott Smith are the leaders of in the pack. But there's a bunch of other people running, like one of our favorite whack jobs, Al Melvin.
Oh, the 1062 guy.
Yeah, the 1062 who in an interview with Anderson Cooper asked him, well, if someone's fired from a job, just because they're gay or lesbian, is that discrimination?
Yeah.
And Al got very, very belligerent and wouldn't answer the question.
Right.
There are these huge, long pauses that makes you think it's one of these gap things that you get on television. But he's just not going to answer for a very, very long time.
He was the one that also said, well, this was a bill that was brought up by Center for Arizona Policy, and they were rushing it through, so we just voted for it. You know?
Yeah.
They were in a hurry.
They didn't read it. They just voted for it.
And he did something else fairly outrageous. There's another interview with Anderson. I forgot what he said then, but he's a perennial whack job candidate from somewhere.
Lori Roberts' kooks.
Oh yeah, he gets our kooks list. Her kooks list.
Andrew Thomas is the disbarred county attorney of Maricopa County. He was a candidate for Arizona Attorney General. I have never been so shocked. I mean, there's a lot of corruption in government, Democrats and Republicans on all sides. There's a lot of coziness with businesses and other interests. But I had never seen anyone outside of a banana republic so openly use political power to punish political adversaries and critics.
Yeah.
It was astonishing, almost shocking misuse of public power, prosecuting people.
Steve's talking about is he indicted political opponents of Joe Arpaio.
In
Maricopa County.
Right. And it cost the state of Arizona a whole lot of money when they got sued.
And the county of Maricopa.
Yeah. And, so there's Andrew Thomas. There's a couple of other, or two or three candidates. They have, I think, until May 28th to do their filing. So we don't know if some of these lesser candidates are going to stay in. I don't know if you guys want to talk about, John Molina. I think he ran as a Democrat. He's an OBGYN and former CEO of the Phoenix Medical Center. Don't know too much about him. No ads or anything. There's Frank Riggs, former U.S. representative out in California. And there's Hugh Hallman, former mayor of Tempe, but I think he's dropped out. So the Republicans, Ken Bennett, Doug Ducey, Christine Jones, and Scott Smith are all in the running. And they're going to run against Fred Duval. We talked a little bit about Fred earlier. If Fred was running against Doug Ducey, it would be a moderate against someone who really, really sounds to the far right.
Fred is a great candidate. I really have high hopes for him. He wants to rebuild our trade with Mexico, with all of this immigration problem, we've lost out on most of the trade coming from Mexico and the trade that we used to, you know, items we used to sell there. Most of that's gone to New Mexico and to Texas and California. And we've not opened any doors, to reestablish that trade in Arizona. And that's one of his primary things. That and, you know, he was on the State Board of Regents and, wants one of his issues is to keep, Arizona graduates of our universities in the state. Most of our top graduates are leaving the state to go elsewhere.
So. I think if you talk to Tea Party Republicans, it's one thing. If you talk to like the economic advisors of Romney in the last election, the key a lot to economic development is education and training, and that's how you get advantage. And Fred Duvall, you've got someone who's going to emphasize that.
And one of the things that they talk about working across the aisle. Prior to running for governor, he was working with a very conservative Oklahoma oil man, T. Boone Pickens, and trying to establish some alternative fuels and to end our dependency on foreign oil.
Secretary of State.
Before we do that, I want to go back to Molina for a second. I mean,
sure.
This guy's got an MD and a JD from two Arizona colleges, one from the University of Arizona, another from ASU. He was active in the Indian Health Services, claims to have Apache Yaqua background, and as kind of an interesting character. If he does emerge, if he does pop out at all from the pack of Republicans, he could be interesting. I'm quoting from Ballotopedia, and I'm only saying this because this guy sounds more like a Democrat, especially in this environment. He doesn't believe that social issues should be part of a political discussion.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Well, good point. Let's go on to Secretary of State.
Yes.
Terry Goddard is the Democrat running for it. Terry Goddard was the Attorney General of Arizona.
For 8 years.
Elected as outstanding Attorney
Mara
General
Phoenix,
of the United States.
Mara Phoenix for two or three terms, four terms.
To me, he personifies a good public service, honesty, straightforwardness, absolute dedication to the public good. He's an astonishingly moral candidate in terms of his, I don't know anything about his private life, of course, but in terms of his politics and the way he handled himself. Extremely honorable man,
smart, savvy political guy, and a good leader. I mean, his accomplishments as Attorney General, where he made some progress against the drug cartels. He discovered a way to get at their money as it came into Arizona, and it was extremely effective.
His issues are, he says the next Secretary of State will have to face two big issues, voter suppression and dark money in politics. And certainly we've talked about both of those in the past.
Yeah. He's running against State Senator Michelle Reagan, who is a very right-wing state senator. I don't know too much about her. She's been in the news off and on in some different controversies. He's running against Will Cardin. These are all Republicans. Will Cardin is a very wealthy guy who ran all those ads claiming that Jeff Flake was not a conservative.
He tried to buy the U.S. Senate seat in 2012.
Spent a lot of money.
Yes, he did.
And now he's trying to buy the Secretary of State job. I don't know what else to say about it. Trying to convince. I mean, if you can't convince Democrats that Jeff Flake is not conservative, your chances for convincing Republicans are even less.
If he doesn't have a brand new tack, don't forget this is real early, and we're doing this show really early.
We wanted to give you guys a preview of what's happening.
I like it. If he doesn't come up with a different tack on this campaign, he's not going to get more than 30% of the vote.
He has lots of money. Boy, that guy spent a lot of money last time. Do you know anything about State Representative Justin Pierce, who's also running, Gary?
Didn't have time to find out what he or Michelle Reagan have sponsored and voted for. But he's an attorney, like a lot of politicians, and he... He's touting his commitment to economic development, education, and public safety. You know, if you read the websites, they all kind of say they all address the same issues in one way or the other, economic development, education, and public safety. They just come at it in such different ways.
They have very, very different strategies. Let's go on to Attorney General. Somebody want to talk about Felicia Rodellini?
I just can't say enough about Felicia Rodellini. I think that's given the current state of things in the state of Arizona and in that particular race. I believe that is going to be our next Attorney General. She's got the 17-year career in the AG's office. I mean, she knows the office. She's got this great personal story, the Italian family from Wyoming and the hardworking and I don't mean she has a similar background to my own, and maybe that's, first of all, I didn't know there were any Italians in Wyoming. And sure enough, there's this whole family there. And just once again, in this climate, she's just really good at her job. A dedicated public servant. She was raised, I mean, she tells these stories. She was raised to public service and wanted to do, this is what she wanted to do. I mean, she didn't want necessarily higher profile lawyer gigs.
If there's any real justice, she'll be the next Attorney General, because she was leading in 2010. She was leading in the polls until Tom Horn, conspired allegedly with a PAC to dump a whole lot of money into the race.
Kathleen Wynne and Tom Horn meet in the garage, exchange the money illegally, for which Sheila Polk, the county attorney of Yavapai County, is going to prosecute him for.
And Sheila Polk is a Republican.
I mean, so it's taken years. I have to admit, Tom Horn is a survivor. He has held off this prosecution since the 2010 election. Okay, all this, don't forget, occurred in 2010.
He's agile politically, as you say.
He cheats at the end of the campaign, does exactly what the cheating was intended to do. It just puts him ahead of Felicia, and he, to a lot of people's surprise, he emerges victorious as the Attorney General.
What I thought was interesting in the last campaign, they said, well, he was banned from life from the SEC for some very dubious, if not absolutely dishonest,
when
stock
I talked
trades.
To, when I talked to Felicia, I said, this is the only question you should be asking in any campaign. What do you have to do to get banned
for
life?
But the answer back then, Mike, was that, well, that was when he was in his 20s. He's now mature man. He's changed. He's now this moral, ethical guy, has replaced this young...
If you have no ethics in your 20s, you don't have any ethics in your 40s.
So this guy, don't forget, and now the latest thing is the whistleblower, Beatty, the employee, Sarah Beatty, this is the, doing the campaigning out of his office. Right. She resigned, to tell the story here, she resigned because she couldn't handle the corruption of doing 24/7 Tom Horn campaigning out of the public office that he was elected to.
And you're surprised that he would do that, given his ethical standards, Mike?
Well, not too surprised.
So we have one of the most honest people. Felicia's managed large groups of lawyers doing complicated white-collar crimes. If you've ever been on a trial with a white-collar case as a juror, it's really hard to get a conviction. She's the one who got millions of dollars of settlement for Baptist. There was an affinity group. We're good Baptists, invest with us, and they ripped off a whole lot of Baptist folks.
That was
she
a big
got
deal.
Them there at least some of their money back.
I had several friends get burned in that scandal years ago. I want to talk about, we're talking about Attorney General of Arizona, the Arizona Public Integrity Alliance, a conservative group, has been running the ads calling for Tom Horn's resignation. You know, they want him to resign now. And they said they couldn't decide on which scandal to feature in the ad. They bought $400,000 worth of, according to Tyler Montague, from the Arizona Public Integrity.
And who do they want to win? This guy, Mark, Brnovich.
It seems from some encounters I've had that the Republicans are desperate to get Brnovich on the ballot because they're frightened of what might happen if Horn is their candidate. So.
Brnovich could accused Horn of being against prayer at public meetings, which of course was an entirely fabricated case. He's a member of the Goldwater Institute, so he's a right wing libertarian.
That should tell you everything.
Free markets and individual liberties. He's also he goes back and forth between private sector and public sector. He was a senior director of our old friends, the Corrections Corporation of America, the private prison company.
Yes, running prisons in Arizona.
That costs more to operate prisons than the public prisons.
So we got this guy, both these guys trying
these
to
are the
get
guys the, who are these, no, this is a different company that asks for extra money. Okay.
So we're looking, so we got these two guys on the Republican side for Attorney General. We got Felicia Rodellini on the Democrat side. But I want to read this quote from an article from the New Times by Stephen Lemons or Lehmans. He said he was talking about the ad that's running, trying to get Tom Horn to resign as Attorney General because of. He said the hardest part about making the 30-second commercial was deciding which of the long list of Horn's scandals to discuss. Montague said in a statement released with the ad, "It wasn't easy. We settled on telling people about allegations that Horn hired his mistress for $108,000 a year state salary, was sneaking off with her when the FBI observed him making a hit and run in the parking." So they decided on that one.
This is the guy who's Attorney General.
This is Attorney General of Arizona.
Okay. This is why we make the late night comedy shows regularly.
Exactly.
Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jason Williams has run before. He's an educational consultant, very bright guy, has worked with trying to get disadvantaged kids get a very accelerated education for them. And then we've got who else, Mike, is running on the Republican side? John?
We have John Hoopenthal, the incumbent who was caught on a robocall encouraging parents to enroll their children in private schools. This coming from the superintendent of public instruction.
Right. And we could go on with a long list of Hoopenthal's right-wing craziness.
Yeah, not so much scandals, but certainly certainly carries
no, I don't know of any scandals, personal scandals.
No, the extreme right-wing, for sure.
Corporation Commission. Democrats have, two candidates running? Sandra Kennedy was on the commission before.
She was part of the original solar team.
And Jim Holloway, who's new to running for Corporation Commission, who's committed to solar energy and to using solar energy in Arizona. We've got Brenda Burns, who voted to tax solar power. So if you end up paying more taxes on your solar power, thanks to Brenda Burns and Gary Pierce, who are Republican members of that.
They also voted to raise the amount that the APS gets for connecting you to the grid.
Exactly. Now I'm looking at Gary's notes here, and he says Barry Wong. Big issue is to not deny utilities to undocumented workers. Is this true, Gary?
Yeah, that was.
Can it be true?
That was the only thing I could find on him. There was a story about him in a debate against Burns and Pierce at a Republican gathering, and he was strongly denouncing any. He claimed that the. That a lot of the undocumented workers are unfairly being given access to utilities, and so he wants to cut them off. And the incumbent said,
"These are from utilities they're paying for, right?"
Right. And the incumbent said, "Well, it's impossible for the Corporation Commission to determine which ones are illegal and which ones aren't." So.
But that's the kind of good ideas this guy
has. Right, right.
Yeah. You talk about inhumane.
What do we want to talk about next? Do we want to go, or we've got a few minutes, we want to go to the congressional races, we want to go to the LD6 races?
We do want to say that Sandra Kennedy and Jim Holloway have both been to Sedona, and Sandra several times. They speak at the door functions over at the old Sedona. So you can get a look at these candidates, maybe not some on the other side, but you can get a look at these candidates over the next few months. I'm sure they'll be back.
Do we want to go to LD6 or do we want to go to the congressional races?
I think we can do LD6 real quick.
Okay, let's go to LD6, Gary.
Because we talked a lot about Barton and Thorpe and Crandall at the
we did that.
At last week. So I don't think we really need to elaborate on those three. They're three of the most wacko Republicans in the state legislature who are focused on constantly attacking the federal government. They're who Ducey should be angry at than President Obama. But there is one candidate on the Democratic side running for state representative, and that's Lanny Morrison.
Right. He's been a disavowed.
Tell us about Lanny Morrison, because he has a very distinguished background.
Sure does.
In policy and teaching and managing systems and as an advisor.
He spent more than 40 years of his professional career in public policy. And I can list off a few of his positions. He was Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. He worked for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, Health Resources and Services Administration, National Institute of Mental Health, and then he consulted with the states of California, Connecticut, Maryland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Virginia.
So Lanny Morrison running against Brenda Barton and Bob Thorpe.
And Lanny?
Bob Thorpe's one of the crazies who went up to that fraud Clive and Bundy's ranch and defended him.
Yeah. Lanny Morrison also had the good taste to spend the day with me. We walked all around.
Is that good taste?
We won't hold that against him.
We'll still vote for him.
We walked all around Cottonwood, and but the point is he wanted to get to know the district in certainly places other than he lived. And he found...
He's from Flagstaff.
He's from Flagstaff. He found a local character to give him a guided tour of Cottonwood and the Ready Valley. But we want to talk about Tom Horn. Independent.
Tom O'Halloran.
Tom O'Halloran.
Yeah,
I got Tom Horn.
Don't confuse those two.
Okay.
Oh,
easy,
gosh,
easy.
Yes. All
easy,
right,
Mike.
Right. Yeah, okay. Anyway, on May 16th.
Tom O'Halloran.
Sedona's own. Sedona's very
if
own.
If you look on the internet and you look for Tom O'Halloran, you're going to see a guy with a lot of guns and a big beard. That's not the guy running.
It's a popular Irish name. Lots of O'Hallorans out there. But this is Sedona's own, sat in this very studio doing his own show here, by the way. He had a show on Chasm at one time. And he switched from Republican to Independent on May 14th and declared for the Arizona State Legislature to run as a state senator against Chester Crandall. Is that correct?
That is correct. And his two big issues that he mentioned recently were restoring funding for education and properly funding the new replacement for CPS, the Child Protective Services.
He was basically purged from the Republican Party.
Right.
He was a moderate conservative.
Too moderate.
He was purged from the Republican Party by the extreme right.
He was
very conservative, except on education, I guess.
Willing to work with the other side. I mean, how dare a politician actually try to get something done in the state?
But also water rights.
Sedona loves Tom O'Halloran because of his pro-environment positions and his pro-education positions, and his knowledge of water. Those two things you can't fault him on, at least from the liberal side. Speaking as a liberal Democrat, Tom is certainly conservative in all most other areas that I am aware of.
A lot of independents win office in Arizona?
Absolutely none. It was the topic of a conversation on everywhere in political circles in the state. It was on Channel 8 the other night, the Journalist Roundtable. Tom O'Halloran was a subject. I'm looking at an article by Mary Jo Peisel in the Arizona Republican, the Ballot Access News. So the idea is, I think, the reason he's getting all of this is because this is an independent that may break the mold.
Has a real chance of winning, and no independent has ever been elected to the legislature.
And to that point, Tom, because it's late, needs signatures on petitions, which you can sign online.
Well, that's the other unfair part of Arizona politics. Tom needs 1,157 signatures as an independent. Crandall needs 427.
Do you know how you find that, Gary, to go on to sign Tom's? Because Tom is in Sedona. I don't know the rest of Verde Valley. He's worked so hard on Verde River issues. Has tremendous amount of support for both Republicans and Democrats here, independents, certainly. Do you know how to get to that? Or?
No, unfortunately I didn't bring that with me. So.
Okay. Well, Tom O'Halloran's running, and he's running against Chester Crandall, right?
Right.
Would you characterize Chester?
Chester is Mr. Sovereignty, Arizona sovereignty, and nullification. You know, most of the bills that he's dealt with have been anti-federal government bills.
He's one of these guys who wants to seize federal public lands and privatize them. If I'm not unfairly characterizing him,
I don't think you are.
All right. Now, we mentioned earlier that we actually have a liberal running for office in Arizona. We contradicted Mike. And that's the race between Paul Gosar and Michael Weiser.
That's right.
He's in your guys' district, not mine.
He is in our district. You got to like a politician that stood up at a meeting and said, I don't want your money. I don't have much of a chance. But I'm running for office. Michael is I'm going to let Gary talk about his background, but he's a junior high social studies teacher, right?
Right.
He was a plumber for most of his life.
Yeah.
Went back to college, I think, in his 30s, became a teacher.
Extremely
if you want to elect a poet
man.
To public office, I think Michael is your best shot.
He advertises his ability as a writer and as a poet. I mean, his role is that. He's a very, very likable guy. Once again, I brought him down to the coffee shop. I've referred to the coffee shop many times on the show. I brought Lanny down to the coffee shop, Lanny Morrison. I brought Michael down to the coffee shop. And as soon as he said he was running against Gosar, there were a couple came over and asked for his petition. Now, my Republican coffee shop guys did not jump up or could not, in his case, sign his petition. But I thought that was real interesting that...
For those who always talk about electing somebody... an outsider and sending somebody to Washington who isn't a career politician, who's a working class guy, an ordinary guy that will respond to your needs and take care of your constituents. Michael's the guy, and I best describe him, I think, as a libertarian Democrat.
You know,
he's liberal on some issues and not on others, but he's pro immigration reform and wants to go after the Wall Street fraud and bank mortgage fraud and he's in favor of legalizing marijuana he wants to increase education spending and promote alternative energies and reform federal campaign finance. It goes on and on.
Yeah, I'll do a little campaigning for Michael. If you want to send an outsider to Washington, if you really want to send an outsider, it's not Paul Gosar, that's for sure. It's Michael Weiser.
I think most people know Ann Kirkpatrick. We've only got 2 minutes left. She's got three Republicans running against her now. House Speaker Andy Tobin, who doesn't even live in our CD, in our congressional district.
Right.
He's done enough politics. He started out as sort of a moderate, and he's now moved very, very far to the right.
Yep.
And is taking money from very right-wing forces. The other one is a young man named Adam Quasman, and he's almost entirely of the product of the Koch brothers educational system. He interned and worked originally for the Cato Institute. He went to George Mason College in Virginia, which is the Kochs have given millions and millions of dollars and control the economics department and several institutes there. How a public university got taken over by the Koch brothers is a matter of money.
And then there's my favorite candidate from the Republicans. It's a Springerville rancher and Cliven Bundy wannabe, Gary Keeney, who recently made the statement that 99% of mass shootings have been by Democrats pulling their guns out and shooting people.
These are anchored Patrick's opponents.
The kind of guy who'll really bring the two sides together.
The Republican right is saying that he is registered as two permanent addresses, that he claims to be millionaires. I'm sure he is, and he owns motels. But his permanent residence apparently is a trailer park down in Casa Grande. So who knows? Well, we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Mike, can you get a quick announcement in
there? Gasland Part 2, May 29th, Sedona Library, Gasland Part 2, more Doors Free movie of May, for May.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. I will be, there's rumors that I'm going to be the discussion leader after Gasland Part 2, May 29th, 6 p.m. Come and do not bring your gun, please.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.